Welcome to the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Jeffrey D. Johnson, founder and director of Israel Today Ministries, Arlington, Texas. Teaching the church about Israel and Israel about their Messiah, bringing humanitarian relief to God's ancient people, and proclaiming the good news of God's redemption through Jesus Christ our Lord are the main objectives of Dr. Johnson and Israel Today Ministries. In the next moments together, we will look into the Word of God and discover powerful truths that will change your life forever. Now with today's lesson, here's Dr. Jeff.
Life is a precious gift that God gives to us. Beyond that, he gives us the precious gift of eternal life through his Son. The early edition, you may recall, was a popular television program series in the 90s. It featured a young man who received a newspaper regularly, and the newspaper was the next day's news ahead of time. And because he always knew the future, the character, the man's task in each episode was to save people from a tragedy or a problem that he had read about in the paper. Or if someone was going to be hurt, he would try, or you know, by an act of violence, he would try to prevent that encounter from taking place. So he knew the information ahead of time. Now, we hold the Bible in our hands. And we who hold the Bible in our hands, that we have, if you will, an early edition of future events. We have God's plan for all of eternity. We have the unfolding of his eternal drama that will culminate for believers in the glories of heaven. Now, we have learned so far in the book of Daniel, that because of the sin of not obeying God's word, Judah has been exiled for 70 years in Babylon. And the prophets warned Judah that this would take place unless they repent. And as you know, they did not repent, and Babylon rose to power to facilitate God's chastisement upon his children. And this is really the primary reason for the Babylonian Empire at all. I mean, this is the reason for their existence. And in this, we have been reminded that God controls the affairs of men. Of all the hundreds of thousands of Jews who were exiled, four teenagers were mentioned. And these young men were tested, and they were proven faithful. So God exalted them while they attended the University of Babylon, and they stood and served before King Nebuchadnezzar. God says, those who honor me, I will honor. And indeed, ladies and gentlemen, God will honor you as you honor him. And God gave gifts to these young men, and one of the gifts was given to Daniel, and that was the gift of interpreting dreams, which is very important in Babylonian culture. And those who could interpret dreams were highly respected. Well, why was Daniel and his three friends put in such a situation at the University of Babylon and given these gifts? Why? Simply to put to shame the wisdom of this world by the hidden wisdom of God. So now Daniel's purpose is going to become clear here in the next chapter. It's going to make sense why the captivity, and sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, you and I are put in precarious positions and we don't understand why until later on along the journey. Now here in chapter 2, we begin a most exciting journey. In fact, this is one of the most profound and mysterious chapters in the Bible. Because when you realize what is being said here, what is being introduced, your mouth will drop open and you'll recognize that God is awesome and God is projecting something. He is outlining for us the history of all the Gentile powers that will be from Babylon until Jesus comes. That's pretty huge. Would you not agree? How many think that's just a small thing? Okay, that's pretty huge. But I also recognize this morning that perhaps some of you have not read ever chapter 2 of Daniel. So what I'm going to do today is simply introduce to you this chapter, and we're just going to read through it together. And next week, we're going to begin to pick it apart. So let's find Daniel chapter 2, and let's read together. Just follow along, and we'll make comment along the way. But let me say this before we even begin reading the chapter. Why is a prophetic chapter so important? In fact, why is prophecy so important? If you've been watching the news, you've been seeing a lot of information here the last few days, last 24 hours, regarding Israel once again. In fact, the whole Middle East region is ready to just explode. And the Bible has a lot to say about that in the context of the last days. In fact, before we look at this, let's look at a verse. Turn to the New Testament, 2 Peter chapter 1. Let me show you something here. 2 Peter chapter 1. And let's look at verse 19, 20, and 21. You need to understand the divine origin of prophecy before we even look at this chapter. In 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning of verse 19, Peter writes, "And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of men, but men spoke from God as they were carried along, moved by the Holy Spirit." Prophecy comes from God. This is no private interpretation, what we're about to read here, and even Daniel brings that point out. Now, someone has gone through the numbers and probabilities and concluded that it would require, and you may want to write this down, this is fascinating, especially if you're talking to a mathematician, it would require 200 billion Earths populated with 4 billion people each to come up with one person who could achieve 100 prophecies accurately without any errors in sequence. That's huge. Meaning, it would be impossible. But the Bible contains hundreds of prophecies that have already come true. That's because it is not based on chance, but on the eternal knowledge of God. Now, let's journey through Daniel chapter 2. The second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled, and he could not sleep. So the king summoned the magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. And when they had came in and stood before the king, he said to them, now, let's just stop. Nebuchadnezzar just became the world emperor. He just conquered the known world. He should be on top of the world. And yet, he has trouble sleeping. He is bothered by something. He's having troubling dreams. So he calls in all the wise men. Now these astrologers and magicians, now these were no flakes. These men were profound scientists. They explored and studied the heavens. They came up with the constellations, and in fact, it was in Babylon that they concluded there was approximately, and they were off by a few days, 360 or 70 days in a year. You know, of course, they were off, but they were close. They were very profound men. These weren't like cultic people that we have, 1-900 psychic hotline stuff. It wasn't that. But he said to them, "I have had a dream that troubles me, and I want to know what it means." Then the astrologers answered the king in Aramaic. And we'll talk about why that is later on. O king, live forever. Tell your servants to dream, and we will interpret it. And the king replied to the astrologers, this is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me what my dream was and interpret it, I will have you cut into pieces and your houses turned into piles of rubble. But if you tell me the dream and explain it, you will receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. So tell me the dream and interpret it for me. No pressure here. Okay? He's serious. These dreams truly bothered the king. Look at verse 7. Once more they replied, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will interpret it. And the king answered, I am certain that you are trying to gain time. Because you realize that this is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me the dream, there is just one penalty for you. You have conspired to tell me misleading and wicked things, hoping the situation will change. So then, tell me the dream, and I will know that you can interpret it for me. And we can understand their panic at this point. We can understand that, I mean, the sincerity, please, king, give us a chance. Tell us something. Now, either the king, and commentators differ on this, and you know what a commentator is. For those of you from the Midwest and back east, they are simply commentators. Okay, never mind. All right. It doesn't get any better than this. You know what I'm saying? All right. The astrologers, verse 10, answered the king, there is not a man on earth who can do what the king asks. No king, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or astrologer. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among men. This made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree was issued to put the wise men to death, and men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death. Remember, they were also being trained to be wise men. So now, not only are all the astrologers and magicians and so forth in danger, but now Daniel and his friends are in danger. Look at verse 14. An Arioch, the Klingon. Doesn't that sound so tricky? When Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. And he asked the king's officer, why did the king issue such a harsh decree? And Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel. Now again, Daniel, in the face of death, is very diplomatic here. He's very kind, and with tact, he asks, why? Why is this taking place? Verse 16, at this, Daniel went to the king and asked for time so that he might interpret the dream for him. Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and he urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning the mystery so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Now, they are pleading, they are seeking God for wisdom. This is a very serious matter. Their lives are in danger. The king is upset. The king is troubled. The king is the most powerful man on the earth. And he is saying to the wise men, you either interpret this dream or I'm going to put you to death and kill your family and friends and all of that. Verse 19, during the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, now remember, these next few verses are the key to understanding the whole book of Daniel. He says, praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and disposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. Those verses, those words are the key. God is in control. I thank and praise you, O God of my fathers. Now I want you to notice, you have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we ask of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king. Notice who is getting the recognition here. God, you have made me all that I am. You have given everything to me that I, whatever it is I can do. God, you did it. And unfortunately, in our culture, it's, look what I have done. Do you realize you can do nothing without Christ? Do you realize that you can't even breathe without the Lord wishing it so? Look at verse 24. Then Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to execute the wise men of Babylon, and said to him, "Do not execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king, and I will interpret his dream for him." Arioch took Daniel to the king at once. I mean, there was a haste here. People were dying. The wise men were dying. They were being executed under the king's decree. So at once he rushed Daniel into the presence of the king. And he said, "I have found a man among the exiles from Judah who can tell the king what his dream means." The king asked Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, "Are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it?" And Daniel replied, "No wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about." Look at verse 28. "But there is a God in heaven. You may not understand why you're going through whatever it is you're going through, but there's a God in heaven. You may not have an answer today, but there's a God in heaven. You may be facing something. You may be journeying through a valley that no one knows, but there's a God in heaven." This is what he is saying. He says, "No one can answer the king. No one can interpret your dream, O king, but there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come," what is going to take place in the future. "Your dream and the visions that pass through your mind as you lay on your bed are these. As you were lying there, O king, your mind turned to things to come, and the revealer of mysteries showed you what is going to happen." Who is the revealer of mysteries? The Lord. Is Nebuchadnezzar a believer? Now, there's a theological conundrum. Nebuchadnezzar is a pagan, and yet God is speaking to him. Now, that may mess up somebody's theology here. It is a perplexity, isn't it? Verse 30, "As for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because I have great wisdom than other living men, but so that you, O king, may know the interpretation and that you may understand what went through your mind." Verse 31, "You looked, O king, and there before you stood a large statue." Now, imagine this moment. Whether Nebuchadnezzar knew this dream and didn't give hints to the dream, or maybe he really didn't remember, but just fragments of this dream. Either way, this is a profound moment. Okay, there's Nebuchadnezzar, there's Daniel, this Jewish guy, this slave who's being trained to serve before the king. And now he's saying, "Now, king, what you saw was, first of all, this." And all of a sudden, whether he remembered or didn't remember, all of a sudden, the king is going, "Whoa, this is amazing. Look at this incredible moment. You looked, O king, and there before you stood a large statue, enormous, dazzling statue, awesome in appearance. The head of the statue was made of pure gold. its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs iron and feet partly of iron and partly of baked clay. While you were watching, a rock was cut out, but not by human hands. And this rock struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed them. And then the iron and clay, the bronze, the silver, the gold were broken to pieces at the same time and became like chaff on a threshing floor in the summer. And the wind swept them away without leaving a trace. But the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. Now, that's the dream. Now, beginning of verse 36, we're going to have the interpretation of the dream. But, and like I said, later on, we're going to go back and pick all these pieces and look at them, and very fascinating. But just keep in mind that from the head down to the feet, you have this decline of value in the material and the metals. It's almost like the law of thermodynamics. It's getting worse. It's not getting better. And this rock struck the feet and the image. The statue fell. The wind blew it away. Perhaps that's the Holy Spirit, and we'll find out later on. Verse 36, this was the dream, and now we will interpret it to the king. Now, if you were the king, Daniel has his utmost attention. You, O king, again, he's smooth here. You, O king, are the king of kings, small k, and the God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory in your hands. He has placed mankind and the beasts of the fields and the birds of the air. Wherever they live, he has made you ruler over them. You, King Nebuchadnezzar, are that head of gold. So what we have here is the beginning of the outline of all the empires from the time of Nebuchadnezzar. He's talking about the Empire of Babylon. And now he's going to continue. So Nebuchadnezzar, you're the head of the statue. Babylon is the head. And after you, another kingdom will rise, however inferior to yours. Now this is Medo-Persia, history tells us. And next, a third kingdom, one of bronze, will rule over the whole earth. Now, this is Greece. Verse 40. Finally, there will be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, for iron breaks and smashes everything. And as iron breaks things to pieces, so it will crush and break all the others. Just as you saw that the feet and toes were partly of baked clay and partly of iron, so this will be a divided kingdom, and yet will have some of the strength of iron in it, even as you saw iron mixed with clay, as the toes were partly iron and partly clay. So this kingdom will be partly strong and partly brittle. And just as you saw the iron mixed with baked clay, so the people will be a mixture and will not remain united any more than iron mixes with clay. From verse 40 through verse 43, he's talking about the Roman Empire. Now, what's fascinating about the Roman Empire, not only is he talking about the Roman Empire that unfolded in history, but do you realize that Rome never was conquered? It just simply kind of faded away. And do you realize that Europe is really part of Rome? And do you realize that we came from Europe? And we will learn that the Roman Empire is a divided kingdom with many people who just have different opinions on many things. But then you have another kingdom. So far you have Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, the Roman Empire, which will be in existence, yet though by the time you get down to the feet and the toes, they're weak and divided. But then something very unique takes place. Verse 44. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of a mountain, but not by human hands, a rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold into pieces. The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true, and the interpretation is trustworthy. From verse 44 to verse 45, you have Christ's kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is what this is talking about. This is the dream. This is the interpretation of the dream of a pagan king, the most powerful man on earth at the time. And he has now heard the dream, whether he remembered it or not. He was in awe that Daniel knew exactly what the dream was. And then the interpretation was nothing less than awesome and sobering. You have here, very simply, the outline of all the kingdoms of all time until Jesus comes. Now look at the king's response. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor and ordered that an offering and incense be presented to him. The king said to Daniel, "Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery." Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him, and he made him ruler of the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all its wise men. Moreover, at Daniel's request, friends, be a good friend when you get in high places, folks. Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained in the royal court. That is profound. Now, the reason we did this is simply because I recognize that some of you may not have read this before. Now you have the idea of what this chapter is about. Next week, we're going to pick it apart. And it'll astound you what's in there, what it means and what it is saying. But do you remember the early edition program? We said earlier, a few moments ago, when we study prophecy, such as we have here and will here in chapter 2, we're getting, if you will, God's early edition of world events. He is letting us know what is going to happen tomorrow and far beyond that. Now, here's a point for us this morning. Listen, God does not tell us about the future so that we can argue about it or show how much we know. He wants us to know the truth about tomorrow and about eternity because, simply, people are on their way to hell and need to know God today before it is too late. Hebrews 10:31 states, "It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Hebrews 12:29 states, "Our God is a consuming fire." And Paul said, "Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men." Now, we are going to look at a lot of prophecy in the book of Daniel, beginning right here in chapter 2. Now, don't just gather the facts and take them home with you and put them on a shelf. Say, "Boy, you know, I know a lot of stuff about prophecy." And you will by the time we get through with Daniel. But let's make sure that we are telling others the good news of God's plan. If you just take this information, ladies and gentlemen, put it in your pocket, walk away, you're not doing anyone any good. We're going on a journey. And you're going to know exactly what God is doing in this world. Take that information, share it with your neighbor, your friend, your relative, your co-worker. They need to know Christ. Because if we're understanding correctly, time is short. Life is precious. And Jesus is coming soon.
You have been listening to Dr. Jeffrey Johnson, founder and director of Israel Today Ministries, Arlington, Texas. Thank you for listening to our broadcast today. God said, "I will bless those who bless Israel." And Jesus said, "Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." We here at Israel Today Ministries proclaim the gospel to God's ancient people Israel and bring food to those in need. We also teach the church about the Middle East, Bible prophecy, and the Jewish roots of Christianity. To receive Dr. Johnson's monthly teaching literature, books, or to have him speak in your church, school, conference, or group, or to send a tax-deductible gift, write to Dr. Jeff at Israel Today Ministries, P.O. Box 150-288, Arlington, Texas, 76015, or call us at area code 817-468-4441, or email us at GalileeMan@juno.com. Pull up our website at www.IsraelTodayMinistries.org. Join us in blessing Israel, and God will bless you in profound and wonderful ways. Beloved, until the next time, as Dr. Jeff reminds us, time is short, life is precious, and Jesus is coming soon.